79673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to the broadcast today. As you may have already discerned, this is not Al Davis's voice, and my name is John Lutz, and I'm the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church, and we just finished our broadcast right before this. But Brother Al Davis, who is attending to some family matters today, getting some auction things done from his father's estate, getting all those things squared away, needed to be away today, wasn't going to be able to make it in. So he cordially invited me to be here today, and I'm so honored to fill in for Brother Al. Appreciate him so much. And I know I've shared this before, but Brother Al was such a blessing when we first started our church over in Lakewood, and we started in 2004, and in 2006, we put an offer on a building. We were able to obtain where we're at today, which is 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. It's one block south off of Madison. So some of you may be familiar, right by like 117th and Madison, right in that area. But I can remember we were trying to raise money in order to secure the financing and the down payment. And it was much more than what we could afford. I shouldn't say afford, that we had at that time. But we were just trusting the Lord. And we were a relatively new church plant. Most of the a lot of the churches in the area knew about us. We went to different meetings and just explained what we were trying to do, what we were trying to accomplish. And of course, Cleveland Baptist has been nothing short of just an incredible blessing, getting us started and really branched out off of that ministry there. And originally, we were going to start as a satellite ministry, but we saw the great need in Lakewood for true Bible preaching. There's a lot of churches in Lakewood, but I'm telling you, there's... I don't know. I do a lot of research on churches in Lakewood. I don't know how many are sticking to the truth today. And so I don't say that to boast or be arrogant. I'm just saying that's the reality of it. And so we had an opportunity to buy this building where we're at today. And I remember sending a letter to many of the area churches, really all through the state of Ohio, that were independent fundamental Baptist churches of like faith and practice. And we sent letters around, and we got responses from, I believe it was three or four churches out of the 80 that we sent letters to. And Brother Al was one of those that sent us not only a letter, but he included $20 in there. And he says, I know it's not much, but we just want to be a part of it. We want to be a blessing to you. And I remember we had an opportunity several years later to go back to Brother Al's church and take a group. I think we took 12 or 13 people with us. I was trying to get to the 20 mark, but we just couldn't get enough people there at that time to go back and do canvassing and do door knocking for Brother Al and returning that favor that he did for us. And he may have even forgotten about that. I don't know, but it was such a blessing, and I've never forgot that. And the Bible says little is much when God is in it. And Brother Al understood that, and I appreciate his love for the Lord. I appreciate his ministry. When I leave here from the radio station every week, I get to listen to his broadcast as I go home. And I just appreciate his willingness to just extend himself for the Lord, whether it be the ministry itself, whether it be writing books, pamphlets, literature, speaking, whatever it is. I've heard him speak many times at preachers' fellowships as well, and it's always challenging, and I appreciate his ministry so much. Appreciate his dear wife, and they've just been such a blessing over the years and getting to know them, and even some of the Ohio Christian Alliance dinners. I know we've been able to go to a couple luncheons and dinners together, and it's just been a blessing. So I appreciate him so much, and his friendship, and his leadership in the Lord. And so I hope you say a prayer for him today. Lord willing, he'll be back next week and back in the saddle, as to say, if I don't, well, probably if I screw things up bad enough, he'll be back real quick. But anyway, I did wear my blue shirt in honor of Brother Al today. I've been joking with him about being a closet liberal, and I hope you understand that I'm joking with him about that, and not many more conservative men than Brother Al as well. And I've learned so much from him with that regarding history and those type of things. But we'd like to joke one with another and about those type of things. And so I appreciate him so much. And again, I appreciate the fact that he's allowed me to be on today. Now, I want to go over something real quick that that came up. I just was going over things this morning. I took the day off yesterday, which is a rare event, but I appreciated it so much. Got to spend some time with my family, and it was much needed. And so I came in this morning, and as many people do, you know, my dad used to read the headlines of all the newspapers that came in, and now we do it by internet instead of paper. And so I was going through all the headlines, and the one that jumped out to me really jumped out at me. And I tell you, I read a lot of news, and I look at things, and I try to assess them, and I think the Lord's helped me to really temper a lot of things that I think need to be tempered in the realm of different legislations and those type of things. But I got to be honest, this one hit home a lot closer than maybe anything else that I've dealt with thus far in my life. I have the privilege, I've been married for 20 years now, and I have seven beautiful, wonderful children. Three of them are older now. One of them's the third one, youngest, is about to turn 18. Two that are older already. And this headline caught my eye. Where it was on the dailycaller.com. I think I went through Drudge Report looking through it, and it kind of took me over there. But it says, revolutionary, reps introduce bill to force women. You like that? To force women to sign up for the draft. I got to tell you, this one caught me because according to what would happen, my three oldest daughters, as it stands right now, if this were to go through, would have to register for the draft. And there's a lot of issue. In fact, I think this is called the Draft America's Daughter Act. Just something doesn't sit right with this one. Not only because, again, my daughters, and I've got two more daughters that would come up through that. I already know the young men, my two boys, are going to have to register when they get old enough, and that's fine. And I want to understand people exactly where this is at. This is not a matter of if women can serve in the military. That is not the issue here at all. And the issue is, should government, once again, force somebody who does not want to partake in the military, has no desire to be a part of the military, should the government be allowed to force the hand of these women? Now, I'm going to tell you, if my daughters came up to me tomorrow and said, "Dad, I want to serve in the military. I want to go into the military." They had a desire to. They had a willingness and a wantingness to do. You know, who am I to really stand in the way of that? And you can agree with that, disagree with that, whatever you want. You know, we're going to encourage our kids. I don't know what God would plans would have God, but if God put it on her heart and she wanted to do that, then certainly you would support it. But I'm going to tell you, I don't have to take a poll on this. I don't think we have to go to great lengths to do a poll. The majority of women in America want nothing to do with serving in the military. So once again, you have a small group of women who are imposing their will upon the rest of society. And again, this is just another link in the chain of the tyranny as it's being built up in this land that's taking place, that we're going to force the hand of people to do this. And again, it all starts with liberalism. Now, I got to be honest, I'm conflicted. I'm confused because I would like to say that I can't believe these liberals did this. I can't believe these Democrats did this. But the reality is, these were Republican congressmen who put forth this bill Thursday into the House. Republican Duncan Hunter, whose name was thrown around as far as the president goes. And so I'm totally conflicted here because I have to believe that these two men are doing this for some other reason than to get this passed and legislated into our legal code. I just have to believe that. I cannot believe that these two guys would do this in order to appease people. And I think there's some indication, even in some other letters, and I've got several articles that I've printed out, and it says here in starsandstripes.com, Stripes.com. It's called Stars and Stripes, House Bill Requires Women to Sign Up for Draft. In the second paragraph of the article, it says Republican Duncan Hunter, Duncan Hunter, Republican California, a Marine veteran, and Republican Representative Ryan Zinke, I hope I pronounced that right, I apologize if I didn't, Republican from Minnesota, a retired Navy SEAL, filed the Draft American Daughters Act to stoke debate over the military's historic move to fully integrate female troops into the combat roles. My first thought is, I hope this doesn't blow up in their face. I hope that other parents get as outraged as I was, in which I spent the morning emailing our congressmen, even so far of emailing our senators, to say if this bill comes to fruition, comes to that point, please shoot this thing down. Please vote against this thing, because this is just another step towards forcing our young people to do things. And I find it in somewhat conflicting, because in our universities today, in our schools today, there is such an anti-war, and there, I guess there has been for quite some time, anti-war, anti-military sentiment, and yet it's the liberals who are stoking this fire. You know you're in bad company when a man named Charlie Rangel, a Democrat for many years who should have been prosecuted and examined and tried and convicted already for many of the things he's done, basically since 2003, almost every year he has produced and presented a bill similar to this into the House of Representatives. And thank the Lord it's been shot down every year. But I have one in my hand right here from 2013. It says H.R. 747 to amend the Military Selective Service Act to require the registration of women with the Selective Service System in light of the Department of Defense elimination of the rule excluding women from direct ground combat assignments in the armed forces. And it goes through a list of what the bill actually talks about. It says to basically in the first sentence, by striking male both places it appears, and by inserting or herself after himself. And in the second sentence, by striking he continues and inserting the alien continues. So Charlie Rangel's been working on this for some time. So, I mean, my only hope is that that Duncan Hunter, which I'm sure he's much smarter than I am, and Ryan Zinke, much smarter than I have to believe that these men are doing this to really get this debate out in front of the American people in order to really stir up, if I can use that term, a sentiment against forcing our daughters to get involved in military conflict. I think you can go through the Bible, and if you correlate the Bible with this, and be able to show that within the scriptures, there is a sentiment of men in their nation being available for service to the military to help protect the nation. And I think inherently God has put that within us to know that that is needed in the society in which we live to provide for the common defense. We need a military that's going to help ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, all of those things that we need. You need government to do that. In the realm of the military, there's biblical precedent and principles that show that young men need to be available for their service to their country in order. So I think most Americans don't have a problem with young men signing up and going that route. And thank the Lord we haven't had to use the draft in many decades. But the scary part about this is, as you see more and more people not re-enlisting in the military, as is being reported to us, okay, for the various reasons of leadership over them or whatever reasons there are. Maybe it's the PTSD that many are coming back with, many of those things. The point is, do we really want our girls, our women, serving in that capacity and putting them in that danger? Now, I know this stems from the generals back in January. The generals were testifying before Congress, and the top army, and this is from the Spokesman Review article from Tuesday, February 2nd, it says the top Army and Marine Corps generals told senators Tuesday that it will take up to 3 years to fully integrate women into all combat jobs, adding that women should also have to register for the draft. And yet, in the midst of this, and I'm not going to read the whole article. You can take time to read again. It's the spokesman.com, and there's an article there about it. But it's the article is about allowing women to compete for ground combat jobs, and the arguments for and against whether it would make it less effective in the military. And there's some disagreement even among the generals. But there was a point in this article I wanted to point out that was very interesting. It says Neller, who is one of the generals, Marine General Robert Neller. He said that the Marine Corps' testing revealed two significant differences between all male units and those with men and women. He said all male units were able to better march long distances carrying heavy loads and also were able to fire their weapons more accurately after marching over distance. Being big and strong and having a certain body mass give you an advantage, said Neller. He added that as women do more conditioning and weight training to meet combat standards, they have been more likely to be outside the required weight and size requirements for women. And he said they were looking at that issue. So even as they ask for this to include more women in the military, we also see that even their own leaders are saying there is a difference. Now, you have to be an imbecile to say that there's not a difference between men and women. And you know, God has given women the ability to do some things that men could never do because God created women to do those things. And he's created men to be able to do things that are different than what is men. There's nothing wrong with saying that. That's not demeaning. That's not chauvinistic. That's not anything that demeans anybody. That's the reality of life. And we do a disservice when we require our men to do things that they weren't designed to do, and we require women to do things that God never intended them to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Yet in a politically correct society in which we live, you can't make comments like that because then you're just going to get demeaned and, oh, you're one of those archaic, old school people that thinks that men and women have certain roles that they need to do. You're right. I'm a biblicist. And while the Bible clearly indicates that God can use anyone for anything that he wants to do, he has to be the one to equip them to do that. But do we really want our daughters, don't think about it as men and women, think about our daughters in that sense, being forced to enlist when they have absolutely no desire to do so? I don't think we want to. And I think we ought to, I think this is another issue we ought to be up in arms about. By the way, this was stoked because Leon Panetta, my understanding, Leon Panetta started to make way for the ladies to be able to serve in frontline military combat activity. And you know, if there are ladies who have that desire and they're willing to do the training and they're willing to do that, and they want to do that, and they're willing, man, I mean, we're our biggest supporters. But there's a lot of women that have no desire. They've been taught correctly that God has a plan for their lives, that God has a destination for them to arrive at. And that may be to be a loving wife in a family and raise her children. You know, I've said it before on our own show on the first half hour here. I've said it before and I'll say it again. My wife has such a harder job. And I know that's probably not good English, but much harder job than I do. She's raising those children. She's with those children much more than I am. And God has given us our distinct roles to go out and fulfill our roles, and we'll find the blessing of God. You know, even among churches today, sadly, there's such an encouragement for women to get outside of the home and get out there working. Why? Because we've got ourselves in so much debt, we almost have to. We have to get out there and pay our debts because we've bought into the lie that we can't exist without all these other things. And here's another issue now where we're doing our nation a disservice by asking our women to get involved in the military. Remember what I said at the beginning of this broadcast. This is not about an issue of whether they can or can't do it. This is a matter about, is this right for us to ask our ladies to give up their dreams, to give up their goals, to give up what God has designed for them to do in their life, to go serve a military? And the thing that's so scary about this is this world is on fire. What's the next conflict that America is going to be sent into? What's the next war zone? How much more are we going to be pulled into the Middle East? How much more are we going to be pulled into Russia? And when does things start to escalate in China? When all the maneuvers and things in Iran and the Middle East there? When are all these things? And now we're gonna take our ladies, our women, and we're going to throw them in there. Duncan Hunter, I don't know you. I've heard all good things about you as I've researched over the year. Man, I hope that your motives are pure. I hope that you know that this is going to stoke a fire. But you know what? It's typical liberalism that just turns up the fire little bit by little bit by little bit by little bit to eventually getting across what wants to get across. But I tell you, boy, this one scares me. I don't want my daughter serving the military unless they want to. I thank God my dad served in Vietnam, did a couple tours in Vietnam. I believe it was two tours. I believe all my uncles wore a uniform. And I thank God for them, and I thank God for them being willing to do that. But I tell you, as a father, I don't want to think about my daughters going into combat unless they're prepared, unless they want to. And they have the desire to do that. You know, Army General Mark Milley, when he responded to the one question about the qualifications and the physical qualifications, he said, "I think that all eligible and qualified men and women should register for the draft." So now, once again, the government is qualifying because of the actions of a few as dictating to the many what needs to happen. You know, it goes against freedom, the freedom to choose. It goes against responsibility. And again, it goes against the fabric of our foundation, of our society, I should say. You know, the last thing we need to do is take mothers out of the home and take women out of the home. What we need is more structured homes where the men go out and do the defending. And do the earning and do the things that is going to keep the family together. And yet we see just another step towards more destruction of the family. It just breaks my heart. It's fearful in some sense because we all know that the government's not where it needs to be. And the worst part is most of the churches aren't where they're supposed to be. And so there'll be churches that'll sign on to this liberal junk and do this. And you know, that's the danger point. And I hope that these senators know what they've done. And I'm trusting that they do. But I got to tell you, it scares me and not happy about it. So let your congressman know. Let your senators know. And speak out again on this issue and let them know as well. Well, once again, I want to thank Pastor Al for letting me be on today. And I hope that you have a great afternoon. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.